Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis 1, 1 through 5, and Ephesians 5, 8 through 9. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning, one day. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, "Thanks be to God." Lord God, you are the Almighty God, the cosmic creator, the light of our salvation. Through your light, goodness, righteousness, and truth are revealed. We all have seen and know intimately the darkness of this fallen world. Help us to recognize the light. Help us not to remain in the darkness out of shame or apathy, but to live in the light and in the knowledge that we are children of the light. And may you look upon the fruit of our lives and declare it good. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So today we start a brand new teaching series. It's called The Bible in 10 Words. And I have to confess to you that the idea for this teaching series came about while I was indulging one of my nerdy fascinations. All right. I believe a great definition of being an adult is a person who is comfortable with their own nerdiness. That is my new definition of adult, and I'm really comfortable with my own nerdiness, because something that I really enjoy is words. I love words. Have you ever seen a wine connoisseur? Of course you haven't. This is a Baptist church. You would never see that sort of thing. You ever see a wine connoisseur take a snifter of Chablis and swirl it around and smell it and taste it? That's the way I am with words. I love a good word. In fact, Jeff can tell you, we're in our worship planning meetings sometimes, and somebody will say a word, and I go, "Oh, I love that word. Let's look it up." All right. I love to see where words come from, what they mean today, and where they are going. So, a couple of years ago, actually, I was reading a book, indulging my nerdy fascination with words. It's a book by David Crystal called The Story of English in 100 Words. Now, the English language has tens of thousands of words, and so what David Crystal does is he chooses just 100 to tell the story of our language. The very first word of our language ever written down that we have record of is the word roe, R-O-E, the animal. He talks about words that were used in the 80s, like chillax. Does anybody remember chillax? And words that have come along relatively recently, words like unfriend and muggle. And so he takes our language and just unpacks it by choosing 100 such words. So after reading this book, I thought, could the same thing be done with the Bible? Could you understand the story of the Bible by choosing maybe 100 words, or choosing 50 words, or choosing 20 words, or choosing 10 words? So I kept rolling this around in my mind, saying, I like that idea, but I need to let it mature just a little bit more. And then just a few months ago, I was reading through the first opening chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, pretty much the story of the first generation of humanity. And all of a sudden, these words began to pop off the page. And what they had in common was that these 10 words repeat themselves throughout the story of the scripture. It's almost as though God couldn't wait to tell the story of what he was going to do, how his unresistible love was going to try to conquer the human race, to conquer the human heart. And so today we're going to start a teaching series called The Bible in 10 Words. And if you still don't quite understand where we're going, I think the best way to explain it is just to experience it. So the first word we're going to talk about today, and a word that really does explain the story of the Bible, is the word light. So the Bible begins with these words, and it's very familiar. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's a lot here just in this opening verse of the Bible. Okay, one of the most astounding things, I believe, is God's attitude toward his creation. You see, the Hebrew account of creation is not the only ancient creation account that we have. There are many, many others. But what makes this stand alone of all ancient accounts is that God created out of love. You see, all the other ancient creation accounts, there's an act of violence that gives birth to the universe. For instance, there's a Babylonian creation account called the Enuma Elish. And Marduk, one god, conquers Tiamat, the other god. He rips her in half, and with one half he creates the sky, and with one half he creates the earth. So here is an act of violence bringing about creation. But instead of violence, the Hebrew creation account, the biblical creation account, is one of love. In the beginning, God created. That Hebrew word created is the word bara, B-A-R-A. It's the work of a craftsman, say a carpenter, carving out a beautiful table. It seems that both of Jesus' daddies were carpenters, and God crafted creation out of love. There's also in this creation account a sense of God's power. Now get this. God spoke and it came into being. Okay? Now, use your imagination here for just a minute. How cool would that be? All right. Filet mignon. Bam! There it is. Just to speak it into an existence. All right. Six-pack abs. Boom! It's there. You know. No work. You just call it into existence. God did this. In fact, in the Hebrew understanding of the creation account, God spoke 10 times, bringing the complete creation into existence. He just had to say it, and it happened. Now, we have an echo of this in our own lives. The way we speak can create reality. A man kneels down and he proposes marriage to a woman, and she says, yes. And with that one word, their relationship changes, and there is the seeds of a family. John Kennedy stands in Houston in 1962 and says, I believe this nation ought to commit itself that before the decade is out, sending a man to the moon and returning him safely to the earth. Boom! Reality was defined that would define the next decade and beyond. We have this power to create reality, but nothing like what God did. And boy, that first utterance, let there be light. Also, the magnificence of God's creation. Scientists believe currently that it's possible from our standpoint of Earth that we can see 200 billion galaxies, that we can observe, we can measure the existence of 200 billion galaxies. They also estimate that that's not all that's out there. That's about 10% of what's out there. There could be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. You just look around in the Milky Way. There are 100 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. Do you realize that that's how many neurons you have firing in your brain right now? Some of you maybe a little bit less, but that's how many neurons that you have processing what's happening in the world around you. As many stars as there are in the galaxy, the number of brain cells that are working in your mind. This week I was reading about the Amazonian jungle. Do you know that 10% of the biomass of the Amazonian jungle, 10% of everything living by weight are ants? You know what that tells me? Don't go to the Amazonian jungle, okay? But all these ants, just the weight of these ants. And also, if you were to take a common field cricket and hold it in your hand, count the number of times it chirps in 15 seconds, add 40, and you'll have the approximate temperature of the room. The amazing intricacy and magnificence of God's creation. He spoke it into being, and he spoke it into being out of love. And so the very first thing he created was light. God said, let there be light. Now, this is an important word, because I believe that what happens here is more than just the creation of physical light. And I believe that's a valid way of interpreting this, that God called physical light into being. But more than that, I believe God also spoke into existence spiritual light. God was defining not only physical reality, but he spoke into existence spiritual reality and say, well, you know, maybe you're reading too much into that. Think about this. The sun, moon, and stars weren't created until day four. So something else is happening here beyond just the physicality of light. God created a realm of reality for us as humans to exist in. And the first thing he created was light. Not only physical light, but spiritual light. Because when he was creating this habitat for humanity, he wanted to create the ideal place for us to exist. And as humans, we were created to live in the light. Now here's something very important. Adam and Eve, our first progenitors, they had a choice to stay in the light or step into darkness. Adam and Eve, the environment God created for them of living in a right relationship with him, they were created to live in the light both physically and spiritually, representing a right relationship with God, and they had a choice whether to stay in the light or step into darkness. I wonder how many of you have been in true physical darkness before where you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? Listen, several years ago, I was with my parents several years ago. I was 9 years old, was in some deep underground caverns in Texas. And the tour guide thought it'd be fun to turn out the lights. So we're 90 feet underground. My dad's standing here. I'm standing here. The tour guide turns out the lights. And instinctively, I did this toward my dad. It was dark. I wanted to be close to him. When Adam and Eve chose to step out of the light into darkness, they took a step away from God. What did they do in the garden? We heard you coming, and so we hid from you. They were looking for this dark place. So Adam and Eve had this choice to stay in the light or step into darkness, and they stepped into that darkness. Now get this. You and I are Adam and Eve's descendants. We were born into darkness. So you and I now have a choice. Are we going to stay in that darkness? Or are we going to step into the light? Are we going to stay in that darkness? Or be led into the light of a restored relationship with God? That's up to you. You see, it's the opposite decision. Adam and Eve could have stayed in the light, but they stepped into darkness. Now we have the choice. We can either stay in that darkness or step into the light. So I detest being vague. What exactly does it mean? What exactly are we invited to when we are invited to step into the light of a restored relationship with God? Well, here's what Paul says, and he assumes this step has already happened. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light. By the way, fruit is the produce. Here's what it'll produce. I'm getting ready to plant my pepper plants this year. I don't just want the plants. I want the fruit. I want the results. The results of light is goodness, righteousness, truth. Let's unpack that for just a moment. To live in the light means that life is about goodness. Stop and think about this for just a moment. When most people ask how you are, hey, how you doing? We give one of two answers. Fine, I'm fine, or busy. Life's got to be more than that. Life has got to be more than just survival and getting through our schedules. Do you know that in a restored relationship with God, we are called to experience the light of life, that life is a gift from God, and it is good. You are invited to experience the goodness and the richness of light. So it's no happenstance, it's no coincidence that in the Bible, when a person goes through a difficult time, it's referred to as a dark time. We still use that today, don't we? Now, we are called to experience the goodness of life, to experience light in the Lord. But are there going to be dark times in our life through circumstances? Absolutely. In fact, one of the places in the Bible where the word darkness is clustered is the book of Job. Job experienced dark times in his life. And if we live in those dark circumstances long enough, that darkness is going to get on the inside of us. And often that is called depression. In fact, I think the Bible also reflects this. Psalm 88 says this, "Darkness is my closest friend." So will Christians experience dark circumstances? Absolutely. Will Christians experience darkness on the inside because of depression? Absolutely. And by the way, I'm a pretty upbeat person, have been for all of my life. But I experienced a couple of years ago a darkness that I could not explain, and only the Lord and my wife really understood that. Even Christians experience dark times. The Hadal zone is anything in the ocean below 20,000 feet. You get below 20,000 feet, you can't survive. It's total darkness. But what will really kill you is the pressure. 8 tons per square inch on your body. That's like 100 elephants standing on your head. It will crush you. And some of you have been really far down where you feel that pressure of life is about to crush you, and it's darkness. So what does this mean that we are called to goodness? Well, do you remember the scratchings on the walls at one of the German concentration camps? "I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. And I believe in God even when he's silent." Listen, we remember as followers of Jesus that God is good even when life is not. And maybe that's the one thing you needed to hear today, just for light to dawn in your life somewhere. God is good even when the immediate circumstances of your life are not. And you are invited to live in that light. Goodness. I'm going to skip over righteousness. We're going to come back to that at the end. Truth. You are invited to live in the light of a restored relationship with God and his goodness. And you're also invited to live in truth. Now, current culture will say that there is no absolute truth. That's just current culture. There is absolute truth. There is up and down. There is right and wrong. It exists. And God offers his truth to you to give light to your path, the path that is ahead. What has God given us? And I think about it like this. Goodness is the way we experience God today. Truth is how we follow God into the unknown of tomorrow. So what has God given us to give light to our path? Well, he's given us the scripture. Psalm 119. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path." When I was growing up, I used the Living Bible. And it's not a translation of the scripture. It's a paraphrase of the scripture. But it paraphrases Psalm 119 and says, "Your word is a flashlight into my feet." Isn't that groovy? But that's a picture that God's word gives us light as we step into the unknown of the future. But God gives you more than just the scripture. God gives you himself. One of the best pictures of light in the Old Testament is Exodus 13. The Israelites are coming out from under Egyptian slavery. They're into the desert. They're traveling. And God appeared before them as a pillar of fire so that they could travel by day or night. God himself, the light of his presence, was right there. So when you're invited to step into the light, you're invited to experience the joy of living today and also the truth that God will guide you into the unknown of tomorrow. But there's more. Goodness is today. Truth is about tomorrow. Righteousness is about eternity. That God's light, his righteousness, this is a restored relationship word to be put right with God. And let's forget we're in a churchy environment here for just a second and be honest. Some of you in here wrestle with, does God even exist? If you come to the conclusion of no, God does not exist, you will live the rest of your life in absolute darkness. One philosopher said it's ridiculous to believe that God does not exist. It's like a fish saying there is no air. All I can see is water. And the fish doesn't know that in water is oxygen that is helping him survive. In God, we live and move and have our being. We swim in His very presence. But more than disbelieving God, I have a hunch that more people in here distrust God or harbor a dislike for God over some circumstances that have happened in your life. If that is you, the best thing I can tell you to do is own it. Don't try to bury it, because it's not going away. Don't try to ignore it, because it's not going away. You and God have some work to do to settle up some accounts. Tell Him what you are thinking and let Him lead you back into the light. So here's the deal. Adam and Eve could have stayed in light. They stepped into darkness. You and I can stay in the darkness, or we can be led into the light. Do you think it's any coincidence that when Jesus was on the cross those last 3 hours, He hung there in darkness? Jesus stepped into our darkness to take us by the hand and to lead us back into the light, into a restored relationship with God, where we can experience His goodness today, His truth for tomorrow, and a right relationship with Him for eternity. Will you step into the light? So Jesus also said this on two occasions: I'm the light of the world. One was in John 8, and it's kind of in the synagogue setting, and so it's a little more impersonal. The other time is in John chapter 9, where Jesus takes a man who's blind, has lived his entire life in darkness, and heals him. And as a result, light is now flooding into his life, into his eyes. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you really want to see life in full color, follow me. So I want to show you just a quick video. Sometimes people are out to invent one thing and end up inventing something else. There was an inventor just a few years ago who was just out to create a new pair of sunglasses. And what he discovered was the way that these lenses work actually allow colorblind people to see color for the first time. It's called enchroma, and what it does is light often overwhelms the red and the green cones in the eyes, and so these glasses filter out a certain wavelength of light that won't overwhelm those sensors. So here's a grandfather seeing light for the first time. As I saw this, I thought about the man that Jesus healed who was completely blind. Because in our mind, we say, receive your sight, and the guy just went to work, you know. He was seeing for the first time. And maybe stepping into the full spectrum of light for that man looks something like this. God said, let there be light. My marriage is just like everyone else's here. There's only been a time or two in our married life where my wife and I have stopped talking to one another. Both of us think that we're right and we think the other is wrong. But we all know the truth. I'm the right one, right? Yeah. And then that lack of talking to one another is an example that there's a breach in our relationship. There's a distance in our relationship. Then over time, one of us will drop our pride, we'll drop our guard. Usually it's my wife who makes the first move. She is far more humble than I am. And we'll start using our words together, which is a symbol of a restored relationship. God is using His words today. And He's saying to you something very simple. Let there be light. I am the light of the world. Let's stand together and let's pray together today. God, thank You that You spoke physical light into existence. Thank You that You also spoke spiritual life light into reality. And may we dwell in that light. Adam and Eve stepped out of that light into darkness. You have invited us to make the opposite move back into the light of a relationship with you. And I pray that we would seize that. And so we're reminded of so many scriptures today. Lord, you are our light and our salvation. You have delivered us from death, our feet from stumbling, that we may walk before you in the light of life. That you are a lamp, O Lord, and you turn our darkness into light. Thank you that Jesus Christ, you are the light. You have stepped into the darkness for us and retrieved us and redeemed us. May we step back fully into the light, following your lead. We love you. Jesus, it is in your name that we offer our prayer today. Amen.